Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Supernatural George. I'm Mittens, and today we're going to be watching Season 6, Episode 10, Caged Heat, written by Brett Matthews, his second of three episodes, with a story credit also to Jenny Klein, who was still a writer's assistant at this time. Her first story credit was for 5-7, The Curious Case of Dean Winchester, and it was directed by Robert Singer. There's a lot in this one. A lot. From the return of Meg and the beginning of her turn from being a pure antagonist into an awkward situational ally in an enemy of my enemy sort of way. We also have our continuing saga of Cass versus Porn. But also one of our first real episodes that put Cass on stage all season. Sure, he's been around at the fringes of the plot, but now we finally get to see him, and the information we get looks confusing and conflicting when you don't know what's still coming down the road. And with that future context, oh gosh, it's all heartbreaking. We get soulless Sam on full display at his most ruthless, and Dean struggling to hold it all together as we get our first truly major plot twist of the season. We find out what's really been driving Samuel all season long. And yes, we already learned about his deal with Crowley, but it gets fleshed out on just how far over his head he's sunk. And we get what I referred to in some of my notes as deception theater, with Cass supposedly burning Crowley's bones. And doesn't that just sum up season 6? Deception theater. And just like everything else about this episode, really, it's kind of sad when you peel it all back. I think this one definitely benefits from context of the rest of the season. Watching this one on a rewatch is so much more weighty and heartbreaking experience, because I'm sure to devolve into several side rants as we go through this one. Let's jump right into the then segment. We kick off the then segment with a refresher course on who Meg is to them, reminding us of the episode in which she sicked hellhounds on them, and it ended up killing Ellen and Joe. But also her interactions with Cass in that episode, how she had him trapped in a ring of holy fire, and he manipulated her in order to free himself. She acted sensually towards him, coming on to him, and he threw her down into the fire and used her as a human bridge. Or a demon bridge, but, you know, it got him out of the holy fire. He just sees her as useful in that moment. He's not actually attracted to her in any way, which will come into play later in this episode, too. Pizza Man and all that. We get a brief refresher course of what Samuel Campbell has been up to all season with the hunting of the alphas. And what alphas even are. We're reminded of Crowley's involvement in all of this, that he is hunting for purgatory and is torturing monsters, and specifically alphas, in order to snatch it up for himself. We are reminded that Crowley is no longer the punk-ass crossroads demon, that he is now the king of hell. But Crowley now apparently has the power to snap his fingers and bring Sam's soul back. Or so he tells them, anyway. And if Sam and Dean are not willing to comply with Crowley's employment plans for them, he is more than willing to just shove Sam back into the pit. And then we come to now. We open on a scene of Crowley chained to a chair, supposedly, bloodied, saying he doesn't know, and then gets struck in the face with a baseball bat, and then the real Crowley walks into the picture, with a blood-spattered apron, but we realize almost immediately that it is actually a shapeshifter who has taken on Crowley's form as Crowley is torturing him for the location of Purgatory. Crowley seems convinced that the alpha shapeshifter, first of his kind, knows exactly where Purgatory is and how to access it. The alpha insists, just like the alpha vampire did, that all he knows about it is that's where he goes when he dies. And Crowley has gone to exquisite lengths not only created a specific blade made out of iridium, the only metal on Earth that can potentially hurt the shapeshifter, he's captured a bunch of the shapeshifter's offspring and is willing to fillet them alive in front of the shifter. The shifter's just like, do it, we'll make more. It's not going to sway him. And it kind of makes you wonder, does he really just not know where purgatory is or how to access it? But, I mean, what love of that place do any of the extant monsters have, knowing it's only where they're going to go when they die? Maybe they just don't want to hand their eternal afterlife over to a demon. Or they legitimately just don't know where it is until they do die. You know, which kind of makes you wonder why they haven't thought to ask someone more familiar with death about this. Like, oh, I don't know, a reaper maybe, who ferries the souls of the dead to their respective afterlives, would have been the more appropriate person to ask than the living monsters that have never been to purgatory. You know what I mean? That would have made more sense. But supernatural doesn't have to make sense. At least not on that level. But to me, that's personally one of the major flaws of season 6. All of this could have been resolved by just, you know, summoning up one Reaper and asking them. Though maybe they were given this information by a Reaper at the start of it all. We are never told how they even come across this information that purgatory might be ripe with souls for the picking for power sources. Who knows? Crowley only understands what it means to be the king of hell and to have control and dominion over that many souls, even if they're demonic. It's still a power source to him, and he knows what that power boost has done for him personally. He just wants to expand on that. My rambling aside, we have then arrived at the title card. After the title card, we get a quick little scene outside some sort of factory late at night where Sam and Dean pull up with a Rougarou with a bag over his head, which they hand over to a SUV full of demons. They're still scrounging up monsters for Crowley, and they ask these demons, are we ever going to see Crowley again? Apparently, they've been handing over monsters and had no contact with Crowley in a while. And the other demons are starting to treat Sam and Dean like dirt, like delivery boys bringing them a gallon of milk. Sam and Dean are clearly very low priority for Crowley, as we know that, you know, he can't actually get Sam's soul back. But he does still need them to keep bringing him monsters, because he's too dumb to look for a Reaper. But, you know, besides the point again. Sam and Dean then retreat to some little abandoned shack where they've been holing up, and Dean is angry. He's frustrated that they're still working for Crowley, and no matter how many monsters they bring him, it doesn't seem to get them anywhere. Sam appears frustrated as well, except he's like, oh yeah, well let's look at one of our other options we have for getting my soul back. Oh, that's right, we have none. Dean asks Sam yet again, do you even want your soul back? Because now that he's had a chance to see the unvarnished soulless Sam, he doesn't really like that guy, and he's afraid that that guy doesn't want to be squishy, soft, kind, nice, gentle Sam again. And Sam comes back with, look, I'm working for Crowley, right? Why else would I do that if I didn't want my soul back? Dean walks to the other side of the room to pour himself a drink as they continue this conversation. Like, well, there's no guarantee Crowley's going to hold up his end. Can we really trust him anyway? And he turns back when Sam doesn't answer, but Sam is gone. At first, Dean thinks Sam has just, like, stormed out of the room. But then he gets suspicious when Sam continues not answering. He draws his gun and makes a search of the house. Finds Sam lying unconscious on the floor. And as he's cautiously approaching to examine Sam, he's struck from behind by a demon. Sam and Dean wake up a few minutes later, tied to chairs, surrounded by demons, and their leader is Meg. And Dean is not pleased about that. Meg uses the same sort of flirtatiousness that she uses on Cass all the time. on Dean. She's not picky about who she uses that casual demeanor with. So, I mean, it's not like she just has a hard-on for Cass specifically. That's just who she is. She tells them that she knows that they are working for Crowley and have been for months, and she wants to know where he is. And as we saw in the cold open, Sam and Dean don't have any idea. He's not returning their calls either. Sam is watching her like a hawk, though, because he can sense that she is distressed about something, that she's not just looking for Crowley to get revenge, but she's legitimately afraid. Meg tries to insist that they know where Crowley is, that he's probably wherever they're dropping off all their monsters they're collecting. We already know how they're handing them over to guys in cars at random locations and not taking them directly to Crowley's headquarters. She's got a knife at Dean's neck, straddling his lap, telling him that she will please herself if he doesn't give her what she wants. And Sam laughs. Dean thinks this is obnoxious because, you know, Meg's about to kill him and there's nothing he can do about that because he's tied to a chair. And Sam's laughing. Sam's soullessness kind of comes in handy here. Him being soulless and calculating the same way that a demon is in some ways, at least the same sort of lack of moral compass that a demon possesses or doesn't possess. He knows exactly what Meg is up to. Sam tells Dean that Meg is running because they were loyalists to Lucifer. And Crowley is cleaning house. And Sam knows that because it's what he would do if he suddenly came into power in hell. He'd get rid of all of his enemies' followers, loyal devotees, and only keep the ones that were loyal to him. And Meg was against Crowley from the start. Sam is confident that Meg needs Sam and Dean alive to take her to Crowley so she can kill him, and that she's not going to kill them. And Dean's just like, I hope you both lose. You know, you and Crowley, I hope you both lose. But Sam proves right here that, yes, at this point, he does still want his soul back because he says, well, I've got a better idea. You help us. We all go find Crowley. And before you kill him, you just let me get one thing from him. And Meg's like, what's that? And Sam's like, it doesn't matter. But we all know he means his soul. Sam has seen an opportunity for himself here in Meg's desperation to expedite their dealings with Crowley and then be rid of him, have him off the table forever. And then they're free and everything's fine, right? Simple plan. Dean is appalled that Sam would even suggest this. Sam's request, though, is, can you get us what we need? Meaning, can you torture the information we need out of Crowley or his compliance? Can you do that? Meg's like, I apprenticed under Alistair in hell. Ask Dean if I can get him to talk. And Dean agrees, yep, she can make him talk. So they have come to an accord. They are going to work with Meg. Dean is pissed about it and asks Sam what the hell he's doing. And Sam's like, I figured out a way to get my soul back, solved all our problems. We won't be working for Crowley anymore. You're welcome. Dean's outraged. She's like, you want to work with a demon again? And Sam's like, we're working for demons now. I'm doing this because I want to stop doing that. And Dean just cannot see past the pain of specifically who Meg is and what she has done to them personally, that she was responsible for Ellen and Joe's death. Dean argues back that Meg is going to betray them. She's going to kill them. And Sam's like, yeah, I know. That's why we're going to kill her first. As soon as we get what we need from her, she and her posse are dead. And that's why we're going to bring insurance. And Sam's insurance that they're going to bring, he intends to bring Cass. Sam goes outside, tries to start praying to Cass in a normal fashion, tells him, we need you. It's important. Cass, of course, does not respond to that. So Sam starts describing the Ark of the Covenant from Raiders of the Lost Ark, saying that they think they have a lead on finding it. And Cass shows up almost immediately after that, and Sam is kind of disappointed and shocked that Cass would fall for something so stupid, because Cass, of course, has no pop culture knowledge and did not recognize this as the plot to a movie. Cass is exasperated, though. He's like, I'm mid-battle, Sam. And Sam's like, I don't care what you're in the middle of. We need your help, and you owe us. Cass starts trying to explain what he's actually dealing with Raphael up in heaven. It's not just a pissing match. And what the gravity of the situation is. And Sam is just like, if you don't help us right now, I'm going to hunt you down and kill you. Cass is at least shocked into replying and standing his ground against that. He walks right up to Sam and is like, will you, boy? Like, who are you that you're threatening an angel? And Sam agrees. He doesn't know how to kill Cass at the moment, but he will find a way. He doesn't sleep, and he will make that his life's mission. Cass just sees how broken and awful Sam has become. Cass even tells him, you need help, Sam. And Sam replies, I need your help. So Cass is intrigued by that. Maybe I can actually do something to help him. Maybe he does have a solution. And Sam thinks he does have a solution. He thinks he can convince Crowley to give his soul back. Maybe this is one good thing Cass can do. And so he agrees to help. Sam and Cass go back inside the little cabin, and Dean is shocked that Cass actually showed up. Sam is just like, it's no big. This is just what friends do for each other. And, oh God, even Cass is looking at Sam like, you are so damaged, son. The next little sequence is really heartbreaking, because knowing the truth, knowing that Cass is working with Crowley and probably knows exactly where Crowley is, but is stalling and kind of indulging himself in this little fantasy scenario of maybe I can just chill with Sam and Dean and do something like a regular old hunt kind of case. And yet he could have just snapped his fingers and taken them right to Crowley. But of course he didn't. He tries a summoning ritual and it doesn't work. And Cass says that Crowley is hidden from him. And I mean, that might be the case. Crowley may have his whole monster torture operation hidden from Cass. Does Cass know that Crowley is actively torturing monsters? We don't know. It's never really confirmed or denied that he knew any of that part of the agenda beforehand, but he will certainly know now. Sam and Dean go to the Campbell compound in Samuel's office and library. Since Samuel is working for Crowley, maybe he has information in his library. And of course, they're caught by Samuel. Samuel asks them why he would tell them where Crowley was if he even knew. And Dean argues back, because you're our grandfather. Like, duh. To Dean, that's a simple equation. Sam adds that they have a plan to get his soul back. And Samuel's like, is that even possible? When Samuel insists that he cannot help them, Dean asks what's wrong with him and suggests that maybe Samuel just wants to work for Crowley. Dean asks Cass for a moment, and Cass disappears. And it's like, why even bother with that scene? Just having Cass there and then asking him to give them a moment of family privacy? Dean turns this whole plea, though, without Cass there to be acting as the strong man heavy for them. It's just family here now, just blood. Dean insists that Samuel owes them that much. What does Crowley have over you? Why are you continuing to choose to work for him? And Samuel breaks and tells them. And it's something that we saw a glimpse of in an earlier episode when he was looking at something that he hastily returned to his drawer. when somebody else came into his office. He pulls it out now and shows the camera. It's a photograph of Mary. Crowley has promised to bring back Mary. Dean is kind of taken aback. Samuel asks Dean, don't you want her back? And Dean is torn. Like, yeah, he would have wanted her back, but you know, he's lived his whole life almost without her. And Samuel tells Dean that the only difference between them is that Dean knows how to live without Mary. Samuel's not even interested in bringing his wife back. Just his daughter, whose life was stolen. And I need to pause here because we never actually understand how much Samuel remembers of what happened that night in 1973 where he died. Does he understand that he was possessed by the yellow-eyed demon, made the deal with Mary, that his body was used for that? Does he remember any of that? Does he remember his hands killing John Winchester and then bringing him back? Does he remember what torment he inflicted on his family? Does he feel guilty over that? Does he blame Dean for that? Does he remember Dean's role in all of that? Sam may have explained all this to Samuel, but does he understand it? Does he remember it? What does he think happened? Was he implanted with other memories when he was resurrected by Crowley? We never know. So all we have is what we have here at face value and then applying our own readings that suit our personal tastes. And I like to think that Samuel wasn't evil, that he wasn't malicious, that Dean to him is just some guy who showed up in his life and ruined everything way back in 1973. Some soft, broken hunter who screws up more than he fixes. And Sam, to him, who he's known and hunted with for the last year, is just this super scary guy. And the fact that he's Mary's son is kind of terrifying and awful to Samuel, but he has no particular fondness for Sam specifically. But he's only ever known soulless Sam. He's never known what Sam's really like. Dean remains calm despite Samuel's grief and anger. He's like, do you really think Crowley's going to do that? You think he's going to honor that promise to bring Mom back? You think that's a good idea? And he tries to convince Samuel that going down that road is the thing that always gets them into worse trouble. Samuel argues back, you know, you're one to talk, you hypocrite. How many times have you resurrected your brother and you guys would do anything to save each other, but you won't let me have this one thing? And Dean's like, yeah, and it screwed us over every single time. Dean finally gets upset. He's like, I'm asking you to learn from our mistakes. And even Sam is impressed with how Dean is manipulating the situation. Samuel can't agree to that. And so Dean starts to leave, says, like, fine, do what you want, bring her back. What are you going to tell her? You refused to help out her sons and you made a deal with a demon. What do you think she's going to think about that? And Samuel looks heartbroken and torn as Sam and Dean leave. Back at their little shack where they're holed up, Sam and Dean are researching stuff and Cass is just taking a break and killing some time. And this is probably the first time he's not been involved in some sort of battle in months. And he's just turned the television on and what happens to be on is porn. And he's intrigued and confused by it. He's trying to understand the storyline as if it was just watching two living humans playing out a normal social circumstance, not something completely contrived for the plot of a porn. A pizza man shows up and is now slapping the babysitter's rear. And Cass can only understand it as a punishment and not something someone would do because it was a kink. He doesn't understand that yet. He's like, if this pizza man truly loves this babysitter, then why is he slapping her rear? Perhaps she's done something wrong. That's the only context he has for this. He doesn't understand why anyone would do this just as fun. And he's now viewing all of the interactions in this little drama he's watching as the pizza man punishing the babysitter. Dean is exasperated. He's like, dude, you don't watch porn in a room full of dudes and you don't talk about it. He's like super uncomfortable as Sam just kind of stares between both of them. Like, this is awkward. And Cass is super confused. He doesn't understand what he's done wrong or why this is something that he can't talk about or shouldn't talk about or shouldn't be doing in a room full of dudes, and yet continues to watch anyway, even after Dean asks him to turn it off. He wants to understand this. Sam and Dean are alerted to somebody else coming in, and it is Samuel, who also comments on watching a porno with an angel. Like, is this what you guys do all day? And Cass, still not having turned away from the TV screen, answers, yeah, well, I'm not supposed to talk about it. Finally, Dean at least turns the TV off for Cass. Dean asks Samuel why he's there, and Samuel replies that it's what Mary would want, and offers them what information he does have about Crowley's location. And knowing what we do, we have to assume that Samuel consulted with Crowley on what to do, knowing that Sam and Dean were looking for his base, working with Castiel. So we have to imagine that Castiel has also been looped into what's going on in the Crowley sphere because of the scene at the end of the movie. I'm kind of wondering if half of his zoning out on the porno wasn't him just communicating with Crowley telepathically, you know? Crowley sending him messages, or Samuel gives them a map with the location of Crowley's headquarters, but Samuel warns them that he's never been inside, but he knows it's a death trap. Samuel just intended to hand over the map and walk away, but Sam is the one who asks, come with us. Samuel replies, I may be soft, but I'm not suicidal. Nothing that goes in that place ever comes back out again, he's just told them. So, no, he's not going to risk his life. So, Sam, Dean, and Cass head outside and meet up with Meg and her demon lackeys. And Cass is unhappy to be working with abominations. Earlier, when she had them tied up, Meg took the demon knife off of them, because it's the one weapon they had that could kill her that she knew about. She wants to know where Crowley's location is, and Sam's like, we're not going to tell you. You can come with us. We'll show you, but we're not stupid enough to tell you in advance. And Meg replies that she's not stupid either. She doesn't trust them. But she complies with Sam's request to hand over the demon knife for just a moment, even though he could have killed her with it. Meg looks terrified that she's about to die. And Sam stabs the tall, bald demon that had first tied them up and had been giving them dirty looks the whole time. When the other two lackeys try and close in on Sam, he holds up the knife like he's threatening them. And Sam is like, you saw, he's more interested in killing us than he is in getting this job done. He's a threat to the success of this mission. And it's also a dominance display, a power display, that Sam is not taking any bullshit and is not going to be the passive go along with whatever the demons say guy. Meg trusts that assessment enough that she orders the other guys to back off Sam. Sam just keeps the demon knife, claiming it was theirs to start with, and lets them know that they are leaving in 1 hour. As Meg leaves, she eyes up Cass and gives him a sly look. She knows he's got an angel blade on him, and that's just as good a weapon as that demon knife, probably better, but she's seeing him as a target already, that she's already working out how to get what she needs from him. Sam's outside at the Impala readying weapons. Dean's inside the cabin with Cass, readying some weapons, and he tells Cass, who's just standing there staring off into the distance, you know, you could help. Cass expresses his ambivalence over what they're attempting. Dean thinks Cass is just talking about the physical mission to break into, quote, Monster Gitmo. He's not exactly pleased about having to do that either, but Cass clarifies and he looks pained about it, that he's not sure that retrieving Sam's soul is a good idea. Dean is confused by this. Why wouldn't it be a good idea to get Sam's soul back? Because Cass wants Sam to survive. And I mean, what kind of survival is it without your soul? We've already seen how bad it is. But Cass is concerned about what the state of Sam's soul is after having been locked in the cage with Michael and Lucifer for over a year. Notice he doesn't say for 100 years or whatever. For 1 year, because we know that for everybody else and for people in the cage specifically, hell time passes the same as real time does. And Cass is realizing that for the last year, Michael and Lucifer have had nothing to do except take out their frustrations on Sam's soul. And once again, no mention of Adam and Adam's soul. His body and soul are apparently still in hell. But apparently that's not going to be a target of Michael and Lucifer's anger, or it's just irrelevant, or the writers forgot that he was supposed to be there, which originally led to my conviction that Adam was never in the cage, just his body was, and that Michael had lived up to his promise to Adam to release his soul to return to heaven and his mother. But, you know, Cass tries to express the worst case scenario he can think of, because they have no idea what will happen if that tortured soul is forced back into Sam's body. He could be just in excruciating horror, trapped inside his own body, unable to function at all because of the suffering and torment that was inflicted on him. Dean counters that, well, you don't know that. He could be fine. And Cass even agrees, yes, he might be fine. But Cass doubts that Sam would be fine. And Dean's like, well, then if he's not fine, then you will fix him. And when Cass tries to protest that, Dean expresses just how not fine Sam is without his soul, and that anything is going to be better than that. And if there's complications, we will figure that out. And Cass agrees, because what's the point in letting Sam's body live if it's functional, but not the totality of who Sam is as a person? What about his personhood? That doesn't really mean much to Cass yet. He's not fallen to humanity yet. He has not completed that journey of learning what true human joy and suffering are. To him, it's an abstract concept. To Dean, it's his lived reality. He can't imagine trying to live with what he's seen Sam has lost. It's not life to him. And Cass, feeling at least partially responsible for all of this, agrees. But as Dean's walking away, Cass is like, or we fail, and Sam suffers horrifically. And what Dean does not see, as they're having this extremely painful conversation, is Sam standing in the shadows, overhearing all of it. He doesn't want to suffer. He doesn't want a tortured soul shoved back into him. And, you know, he's this guy now. And it's giving him pause about wanting his soul back at all. At what looks like an abandoned prison, Cass, Dean, Sam, Meg, and Meg's two lackeys show up. They're all like, it seems kind of quiet. And Cass is like, no. He senses what's going on in there and tells them to meet him at the side door. Cass zaps himself inside and opens the door from the inside. To which Dean replies to Sam, does this all seem too easy to you? Like, why was it so easy for all of us to sneak right up here and get right inside? Where's all these apparently insurmountable defenses that Samuel had warned them about? They begin walking past jail cells filled with monsters. One of the monsters they see was a djinn, the one from the very first episode of season 6, who tagged Dean in a bar. And Samuel had apparently captured and handed over to Crowley. She begs them to help her. And Dean is shocked. Like, I knew you. And this is where she's been locked up all season long, getting tortured. They turn a corner down another hallway, and Cass tells everybody to wait. He hears something. Meg hears it next. And then Dean hears it. It's the prison guards. Hellhounds. They all start running for it. The two demon lackeys are at the back of the pack, and they both get grabbed by hellhounds. Our four heroes, if you're including Megan, hero category, barricade themselves in a short length of hallway. Dean was like, yeah, I knew this was a trap. It was too easy to get inside the building. And Meg's like, I'll be rooting for you from Cleveland. Opens her mouth to disappear out of her body, and nothing happens. And Cass starts looking a little shifty, insisting that it's a spell, I think, from Crowley. Because Crowley uses this place to torture monsters, probably demons too, because, you know, why not? He doesn't want them just smoking out or monsters to be able to escape. This place is locked down tight. But at least Dean gets to taunt her about it a little bit, like, we're all stuck here now. Sam pulls out the demon knife, and Dean's like, what are you going to do, just slash it thin air until you hit something? And Sam holds it up to Meg and is like, you can see the hellhounds. You can use this. It's our best shot. And she looks at Sam like at Crowley. Yes, you need that knife to kill Crowley. Do whatever you're going to do to him. Meg has another idea of how to fight off the hellhounds. She grabs Cass, pulls him in for a kiss, and we get a close-up shot of her pickpocketing him for his angel blade while he's distracted by the kiss. Everybody else is distracted by it, too. On first watch of the episode, most people don't even notice what she's doing until she holds up the angel blade. But Cass does understand what he learned from watching the porn earlier, what he learned from the pizza man. And he thinks that this is just now how you respond. There's a million different ways you could read this whole scene. But none of them involve him thinking that there's some sort of romance here or love between him and Meg. He's seeing it as a dominance display and punishment. He was not about to be the babysitter in this circumstance. Getting his rear slapped by her, he pushes her up against the wall and kisses her in a dominating way, like maybe she needed to be punished sort of way. Because he doesn't understand that there's another layer to all of this that's going on, both in the porn, like this is sexually exciting to them, and that on the other level, that Meg has pickpocketed him and taken his angel blade. Meanwhile, Sam is just awkwardly looking away, and Dean is just like, okay, we're not all about to die here. Maybe we can, like, not. Whatever it is the two of you are up to. When Cass backs off awkwardly and Dean is looking at him like, the fuck, dude? What? And Meg is like, what was that? Cass clearly does not understand any of what has just happened. He just tells her that he learned it from the pizza man and leaves Dean to understand why he did what he did. Who knows what conclusions Dean draws, but he thinks that has something to do with wanting sex. Because that's what pornos are for, right? Once Meg recovers from the shock of being smooched on by an angel, she's like, okay, yeah, gotta go. And holds up the angel blade, and Dean's like, where'd you get that? And Cass realizes that he's been pickpocketed, looks down kind of like, oh. Dean is confused because he didn't know an angel blade would work on a hellhound, and Meg's like, yeah, well, we're about to find out if it will. Run! And she's willing to sacrifice herself, or at least fight till the end while Sam, Dean, and Cass go off and hunt Crowley down. Meg proves that the angel blade does work on hellhounds. As the other three come down a staircase, Dean complaining that he can't see, when all of a sudden they're hit by a very blinding light. And when it's gone, Cass is too, because Samuel banished him. As soon as they see Samuel standing there, Dean's like, you sold us out. And then two demons appear behind Sam and Dean and grab them up. Samuel sold them out. Gave up Crowley's location to them, blasted Cass away, probably to have some sort of meeting with Crowley, where they lay out their final plan. Cass picks up Crowley's bones, or bones that are supposed to be Crowley's, and they lay out their final plan for how they're going to make all of these problems with Sam and Dean go away. And I can imagine this is one of the messes that Crowley will refer to later on this season that he had to clean up because Cass has soft and sympathetic feelings towards the Winchesters. But now that Sam and Dean are restrained, Crowley finally shows up. Samuel is his, bought and paid for. Which, again, confirms that Samuel did not give them that map because he was soft or had familial feelings towards them, but because Crowley ordered him to. Crowley insists that he's going to kill Sam and Dean now, and he regrets it because he enjoyed having them as his servants. But instead of just killing them on the spot, which would have been delightfully effective, but catastrophic for the narrative of the TV show Supernatural, he locks them in cells. He's going to torture them some before he kills them. Or, conversely, Cass has said to Crowley, if you kill them, I'm done. Our deal is over. Because remember, that was the bargaining chip for all of this going in, that Dean would be left out of it and kept safe. And things have already fallen apart, both on Cass's end and on Crowley's. But I think even Crowley understands it's a step too far to just outright kill them. He's got to go about this in a way that he can say, oh, they just died because of XYZ, you know, to keep his deal alive with Cass. Or give them a chance to fight their way free. And then it's still not on him, but he's severed their contract. He doesn't have to worry about keeping a closer eye on them. But having them in his employ all this time is a problem for Crowley. He needs them to stop coming after him. Even if they're freed from their deal, he's going to have them after him. He understands what the problem is with the Winchesters. When they've got a bone to go after, they don't give up until they get it. And Crowley right now, if he lets them go, is their bone. He's got to put on a bit of deception theater. We cut back to Meg, who has successfully killed all of the hellhounds, but then is knocked sideways and has her angel blade taken away by Christian, still possessed by that demon. Back in Sam and Dean's cages, Samuel comes and Dean confronts him through a little hole in the door. And Dean's like, I'm not going to give you any forgiveness for this. You betrayed your grandchildren. Samuel argues back that Dean's in no position to criticize him for this. He's doing this for his daughter, his blood, because Dean didn't put her first either. That Dean sold Mary out to save Sam. That is what he believes. And Dean's a little bit confused by this. He's like, none of that was on me. But Samuel is convinced that Dean traded Mary's life somehow for Sam's. Dean counters with, well, you chose a demon over your own grandsons. And Samuel's like, I don't even know what Sam is, but he's not my grandson. And you, what exactly are you supposed to be to me? He has no care or love for Dean at all. He's just some guy. And some guy he wrongly believes is responsible for Mary's death, somehow. Dean looks him straight in the eye, completely straight-faced, and says, I'll tell you who I am. When I get out of here, I'm going to be the guy who finds you and kills you. Samuel tells Dean, I don't think there's going to be a next time. And Dean's just like, whatever gets you through the night. Dean is super confident that there's going to be a next time. Because there always is for him, right? Samuel doesn't have an answer for that, but he sort of looks a little anxious about it, shifty, shuts the little door and walks away. The big door opens and a couple of demon lackeys come in and drag Dean off while Sam is plotting what he's going to do next. We then cut to Meg, now stripped of her clothes and strapped down to some sort of torture table. Conveniently, they are in Crowley's favorite torture dungeon. Why they had to strip her naked to do this, I don't know, but kind of an extra layer of gross to it all. Christian now has the demon knife, taken off Sam and Dean, and Crowley has ordered him to torture all of the information about everything they're plotting out of Meg. Back in Sam's cell, all of his weapons have apparently been taken from him, and he's hatched a plan and rolls up his sleeve and bites open his own arm. He just looks feral doing it. We see where Dean's been taken to some sort of, like, shower room. The windows are all covered with bars, and he's effectively trapped in there. I have to mention what the original plot was for this, that Dean would be tossed into a sandy pit, only decorated with the bones of the dead, knowing that he was trapped in some sort of animal's pen. And a giant tentacle was supposed to reach out of the sand, and then Sam was going to come in and chop it off before it could kill Dean. But they did not have the VFX budget for the tentacle monster. So that had to be regrettably cut. But they were going to introduce some new monster lore into the Supernatural universe that won't end up getting put into the universe for quite a while to come. But eventually we will see some tentacles. But that was the original plan for this. Instead, we get ghouls, because ghouls are very, very easy. They're just people with a little bit of makeup. And instead of bones littering a sandy floor, he gets a sink full of blood and guts and other random bits. The demons brought two monsters in, who turn out to be the ghouls. Dean just thinks they're guys or demons at first, and then realizes, oh god, no, they're here to eat me. Back in Sam's cell, he's cowering at the far corner, and when the demons return to retrieve him, he asks, what'd you do with my brother? And they walk in to fetch him. He's not going to comply and walk over to them, because he needs them to walk to a certain part of this room. And once they get there, they're not able to go any further, because Sam used his blood to paint a devil's trap on the ceiling, and they've walked right underneath it. When Sam smiles up at them, his teeth are just all bloody. It's ghoulish. Meanwhile, back in the showers, Dean is fighting for his life. Sam follows the sound of Dean's grunting and screaming and breaks up the fight with a bar he pries off the wall and kills the two ghouls with it. We then cut back to Meg, screaming as she's being tortured. Meg tries to play it cool, like this isn't extremely painful for her, but then when Christian starts in on it again, she starts screaming again, and then Meg starts laughing, and he's like, what the hell are you laughing about? And she's like, Dean Winchester is right behind you. Just as Dean grabs the demon blade out of Christian's hand and stabs him through the back with it, and Dean looks pretty pleased with himself about it all. We then cut to Crowley walking through the halls of the prison, enjoying a glass of whiskey, beginning to interrogate the gin girl again. She looks terrified of him, like he's already tortured her plenty. Before Crowley can do anything, though, an alarm goes off, and he excuses himself. And he's just completely calm through all of this, like this is just one more problem he has to deal with and not potentially catastrophic. He heads to the room where Meg was being tortured, finds Christian dead and Meg gone, and Dean was the one who had pulled the fire alarm. Crowley tells Dean he should be dead via ghoul by now, and Sam hits Crowley over the back of the head with that pipe he pulled off the wall earlier, knocking him into a devil's trap. When Crowley asks what he owes the pleasure of all of this to, Meg comes strolling in, and she immediately starts torturing him, clenches her fist, and Crowley just starts spitting up blood. But Meg cedes the floor to Sam, because that was their deal, and Sam tells Crowley that he wants his soul back. Meg makes a comment like she's surprised to learn this information, but she's like, I just thought you grew some balls, Sam. Crowley tells Sam no. Dean orders Meg to torture him some more. He drops to his knees in pain, and Crowley tells them he can't give Sam's soul back. Sam asks for a clarification, can't or won't, and Crowley agrees, it's can't. He does not have that power. Crowley says, I can't even believe you'd want it back. I was lucky to get this much of you out of the cage, which again makes me think that it was Crowley who sprung Sam from the cage and Cass just carried him out of hell. But Crowley is not going back into that cage again. Sam wants to know how he can prove that Crowley's not lying about that, and Crowley's like, you can't prove it, but it doesn't change anything. Then he pleads with Sam. He's like, why would you even want it back? He would never want to take that soul on himself. It's going to leave you a drooling mess, which is one of the concerns that Cass raised to Dean earlier, which makes me double down in my belief that Cass and Crowley are in on the same page here, that this is their joint plan to sever ties with the Winchesters here, each for their own reasons. But they are giving Sam the same information, and Sam and Dean, who don't know that Cass and Crowley are working on the same team, and the audience at the time that this aired, who don't know that Cass and Crowley are working on the same team, see it as independent confirmation and not the concoction to manipulate them with. And while yes, Sam has some issues when he gets his soul back, we know he's not rendered a drooling mess for the rest of his life. But even Meg confirms she knows torture. She knows what Lucifer is capable of, and she confirms to Sam that, yeah, Crowley's probably telling you the truth here. And so Sam cedes ownership of Crowley and the Devil's Trap to Meg. Dean protests this. He's like, wait, we can't just kill him. And Sam is like, you heard him. He's useless. He can't get my soul back. We have no need for him anymore. He's ready to just let Crowley die. And Dean reluctantly hands over the demon knife to Meg to finish Crowley off. After Meg confirms that Sam and Dean will let her back out once she kills Crowley, she walks into the demon trap, is about to stab him as he's on his knees, until he sweeps a foot out, knocks her down, and takes the demon knife from her, which he uses to throw up at the ceiling, breaking the devil's trap and freeing himself. And Crowley's about to take his revenge out on Sam and Dean, who he flings away to opposite sides of the room, sticks them to the walls, summons the knife back to his hand, and is ready to turn on Meg, telling her she doesn't know torture the way he does, when Cass has to appear, because obviously he can't let Crowley just kill Sam and Dean. And again, deception theater, all of this was planned in advance, because Crowley had to know what to do and when, so did Cass, because they can't have Sam and Dean uncovering what their true plot is, and Cass refuses to let them be killed for it, because the whole reason he got in this alliance with Crowley in the first place was to protect Dean, and he is not going to let Dean suffer for that. Sort of defeats the point of the whole endeavor. And we get an extreme close-up of Crowley's face as he tells Cass, Castiel, I haven't seen you all season. And it feels very deliberate, like, this season of the show, you haven't seen him all season because you've been busy doing your little alpha things with Samuel. But then we will find out that, yes, it's all because he roped Cass into this whole deal. And Cass has been running interference and literally reporting and working directly with Crowley. And it will be implied several more times this season before we, the audience, learn the truth that Cass has been spending an awful lot of time away from heaven. And we know he hasn't been with the Winchesters because they keep complaining about how the fact that Cass just keeps flapping off because he's always off on this war in heaven. Well, he's not there either, because the angels will accuse Cass of being not available. What's he been doing? He's been working with Crowley. So it's all just deception theater all the way around. Cass orders Crowley to drop the knife, and Crowley just taunts Cass back. He's like, I hear you're losing pretty badly to Raphael. You're getting crushed in heaven, which, remember, was the point of their whole deal, getting enough power to defeat Raphael. But then Crowley comments on the sack that Cass is holding. What's in the bag? Cass holds up a skull. You are. Crowley insists that's not possible, and Cass comes back with, "You should have hidden your bones better." Cass asks Crowley one more time, "Can you restore Sam's soul or not?" And eventually Crowley does say, "I can't." Cass just points down at the bag, sets it on fire, and Crowley looks like he's burning out, dead. And it's good theater, but it is just theater. We know he's not actually dead. I mean, we won't find that out as an audience for 9 more episodes, but we as rewatchers know. And there's no way that Cass could have known that unless he planned all of that in advance with Crowley. This was to sever ties with the Winchesters, get the Winchesters to believe that they didn't have to continue hunting for Crowley after putting them through all of this. It's to get them out of Crowley's employ, to apparently keep them safe, but also to keep Cass and Crowley safe from them. And it kind of works for a while. Dean goes and picks up the demon blade from Crowley's ashes. Meg just smiles contentedly and vanishes now that Crowley's spell is no longer holding her there. And Dean's like, "Yeah, good thing she's smart, because I was going to kill her too." Dean jokes to Cass that he was going to give him an hour with Meg first before he killed her. And Cass looks confused and he's like, "Why would I want that?" Because Dean totally misread that earlier situation. It wasn't Cass exhibiting attraction to Meg or whatever. It was power, control, and dominance and punishment. Outside the building by the Impala, Dean thanks Cass. "You know, if it hadn't been for you, we would have been dead." And Cass uses this as a tiny little opportunity to unburden himself just a little bit. He looks exhausted, demoralized even, by his battles. He tells Dean that Crowley was right. It's not going well for him up in heaven. Dean immediately offers their assistance to help him in any way. And Cass cuts him off and is like, "No, there's nothing you can do." And he expresses his heartbreak to Dean because he knows that he has just done something that will sever the ties between them. Even though he did all of this to protect Dean, he can't tell Dean any of that or the whole thing falls apart. He just tells Dean that he wishes things were different and has choked up, "Much of the time I'd rather be here." He would. He's doing all of this because he wishes he could be there. He wants them to be a here with Sam and Dean to come back to someday, for them to be continue to exist no matter what happens to him. And Dean doesn't understand just how much Cass is going through it. He's like, "Yeah, of course we understand. No need to apologize. You're our friend, Cass." Cass then turns to Sam and is like, "We will find another way to save your soul." He's still expressing solidarity with Sam and his goal to get his soul back, despite everybody else telling Sam, including Cass, "You probably don't want it back. It's going to turn you into a vegetable, a screaming, tortured vegetable." If Sam wants his soul back and Dean wants him to have it, Cass will do what he can. He will try, and he has been trying. Instead of asking for Cass's personal assistance with that, though, Sam's like, "I know what you can do. Prison full of monsters. Crowley's dead now. Nobody to torture them. We can't just leave them there, and we can't let them go. So maybe you could take care of that, clean all that up for us." And Cass tells Sam that he understands and flaps off, presumably to kill all the monsters left in that building. Dean turns to Sam and is like, "He's right about your soul. We'll find another way." And Sam's just like, "No." For the very first time, he admits it out loud. He doesn't want his soul back. Sam tells Dean that he knows that Cass said the exact same thing that Crowley did about his soul and what cramming it in would do to him. Sam's argument back to Dean, when Dean's like, "We don't know that's true," is when angels and demons agree on something, we should pay attention to that, because they both said the exact same thing. And Sam, I hate to break it to you, it's because they're working together and they have an agenda. Dean can't believe it. He's like, you can't do this now after we practically died trying to get your soul back. And Sam's like, yeah, that's the point. We risked everything trying to get it. Maybe it's just not worth it. Dean tries to tell Sam he doesn't know what he's talking about. And Sam's like, no, I'm just saying something you don't like. It means a lot to you, but I think I'm better off without it. And Dean's like, no, you the hell are not. And the audience at this point is going, no, you the hell are not. And once again, Sam just walks away. Walks away from Dean, the Impala, all of it. And he has no interest in discussing the matter further. He'll find his own way to wherever he's going next. But he's not interested in having this conversation about his soul. He doesn't want it back. He's decided. He just wants to be this soulless dude forever. And probably if he did decide that and did make it impossible to have his soul returned, I think Dean would have had to kill him because, what is he with even without his soul? He's definitely not Sam, not our Sam. And that is how the episode ends, which will lead us directly into what I consider to be one of my favorite episodes of the entire series, still, even after 15 whole seasons and 2/3 more of the show that we still haven't seen yet from this point. This is still in my top 3 episodes of the entire series. And I am very much looking forward to it because we finally get a deep dive into the morality of Sam and Dean, how their choices affect the universe, life and death, and how all of their choices affect, even in small ways into vastly huge ways, everyone else around them. And while their goal of saving people is noble, there is a balance that does have to be maintained. And when they keep coming back from the dead and trying to manipulate cosmic plans and stuff, the way they thwarted the apocalypse and all this other stuff, or started the apocalypse before that, you know what I mean? Even if all of this stuff is being truly manipulated behind the scenes by Chuck on a much higher level of the story than they can even comprehend exists yet, there's still the natural order that gets affected because of choices and actions that Sam and Dean take. And Dean gets to learn that firsthand and the morality of it, and he gets some very good lessons, as do we all, which is why I can't wait for it. But this episode, we think Crowley's dead. We know he's not. So how do we go back and explain everything we saw in this episode? Cass's involvement. And a lot of people have said, oh, they just couldn't figure out what to do with the season and blah, blah. I've even said this in the past. But I've now watched this entire series, and this season especially, so many times that when you know what's coming, it really does all make sense. Leading up to it. It keeps almost everything up its sleeve until the final moments, but it's all there to be shoved up the sleeve in advance. You know, they couldn't just pull out the man who would be king unless they had been stuffing cards up their sleeve all season long, you know? This was the final season that Kripke helped plan. He helped plot the entire season before he left, and left Sarah Gamble to produce it. So this really is part of still Kripke era because he helped craft the storyline. And it just irks me when people are like, oh, took a deep nosedive and it doesn't make sense. And I'm like, man, I used to think that too because that's what I always heard and was told when I first joined this fandom and started watching this show. Even before I got to season 6, I heard these things about it, you know? Because it existed in its entirety when I started watching. Season 7 was still airing, but season 6 was done. So I wasn't looking for the connective tissue between it all. And now I see it. And it's painful and awful and terrible and tragic, but it was supposed to be. And so it kind of works because it didn't end up being the final season. They got a season 7, and Sarah Gamble kind of had to pull that one out of her sleeve. And while the overarching plot is cohesive, it's, I don't know, the corporate monsters and the brighter colors and the glossier finish to it just doesn't feel right to me, at least not like this does. Anyway, until next week, when we'll be watching season 6, episode 11, Appointment in Samara, you can find me on Tumblr at MittensMorgul or at SPN George. You can find me on Discord at MittensMorgul, or you can email me at MittensMorgul@gmail.com, and I look forward to talking to everybody again real soon, which I am happy to do on this one because, I don't know, I like it. I think it's suffering incarnate and really lays out the first turn of season 6, because there's a lot of turns in season 6. Obviously, finding out that Samuel was working for Crowley was a big turn, but this is where it really pivots. Because now Sam and Dean aren't working. They're free, and they're going to free Sam, get his soul back, and what they're willing to go through to do this, even after Dean was telling Samuel, there's some things you just don't do because we are each other's Achilles heels and we don't sacrifice each other for blah, blah, blah. You know, that's how they get us every time. Well, this is how Dean gets got, trying to save Sam because Sam is alive. His soul is suffering eternal torment and he can't leave that alone. Eternal torment's one thing. Dead and in heaven is fine. He could deal with that. Eternal torment in hell, in the cage with Michael and Lucifer, I don't think Dean can take the thought of Sam being trapped there for eternity. Anyway, I couldn't either. And poor Cass, he just looks absolutely heartbroken, like he did whatever he could to enjoy that brief moment of feeling like he was still on the same team with Sam and Dean. He reveled in it, and he wasn't able to like fully appreciate and just let himself sink into it. He was constantly listening in Angel Radio and what's going on in heaven, what's going on with Crowley, and what's the plan that they're going to formulate to get themselves out of this situation, because the jig is up. Their cover is blown. They've got to shut down the Alpha operation because Sam and Dean got too close, which they were always going to do because that's what they do. And Crowley will complain about that in about 10 episodes too. What else were they supposed to do? They had to sever ties. And in an episode called Family Matters, they severed all the ties with Samuel and the Campbells. Christian's finally dead. They've cut their ties working for Crowley. We don't know about Cass's ties to Crowley yet. But they're at least free to pursue their own things. Sam has apparently cut ties with wanting to even get his own soul back. And poor Dean is just left standing there with nothing to show for it, willing to make horrible sacrifices yet again to save Sam. And none of it should have ever been needed, because Cass should never have made the deal with Crowley in the first place. He should have just gone to Dean right at the beginning of the season. As soon as Sam walked away, Cass should have gone to Dean and been like, I'm screwed. I need help. And your brother is a robot man. Like, he didn't know. He didn't. He suspected, but he was too happy to have done this, what he thought was a good thing for Dean. All of this has been in the name of doing a good thing for Dean. And the faster he tries to hold it all together, the more it starts to fall apart. And it's just the tragedy of season 6, because all along, it was planned, their intent was to sacrifice Cass to the narrative, to feed him to it, and then move on with a totally new storyline that had nothing to do with angels and demons. That was something completely new, and it didn't work so well. Anyway, have a good one, everyone.